There is a very famous speech. It was delivered early in the 4th century by a character by the name of Euthyphilus, and it is a defence speech. He has been charged with murder. The murder with which he's been charged is the murder of a man called Eratosthenes. Euthyphilus found Eratosthenes in bed having sex with his wife. And so he physically ripped him from the bed and clubbed him to death. Now, he was put on trial on a charge of manslaughter by the Athenians, and he gives a long speech to explain how it came about that he caught his wife in that situation. And the way in which he frames that speech is very interesting, because it is quite clear that he has to explain to the audience, the Athenian jurors, the men of the Athenian jury, something anomalous. How is it that a stranger could get into your household and have sex with your wife when you should have been down on the ground floor and your wife should have been living up the back? She should have been quite literally inaccessible. And so we have a long explanation in which Euthyphilus explains his wife had given birth to a child some months earlier. She was still breastfeeding the child. It was very annoying for her to have to come up and down the steps every night from her room to the child's nursery to feed it and to change it. And so temporarily they had agreed on a change of rooms, and he had moved up into the top back room and his wife had moved down into the quarters facing onto the street. Those quarters would normally be known to the Greeks as the androne, the men's room. So even in the actual layout of the house, the woman was expected, like Penelope, to be in the back reaches, inaccessible and out of the way. Just as in Homer, when Penelope first appears, she is walking down the steps from the back of the palace, intruding into the conversation of the men until Telemachus says to her, "This is men's business, please leave." This seclusion of women, at least ideally, if not always carried out in complete practice, was surely based on a deep-seated suspicion in relation to women. They were seen as dangerous beings, as something to be scared of. And associated with this notion that women could be deceptive, that they were trying to cheat on you behind your back, that they were useless and worthless, which comes up time and again in our sources, was the notion that women were volatile, that they were dangerous because of the emotions and the passions that could overwhelm them at any minute. And again, in a way that is sort of typical of the Greeks, this notion finds expression, in fact, in the cultic behavior of the Greeks, because a specific cult of Dionysus is actually given over to women being possessed by the god. Maenads, or Bacchants, the worshippers of Bacchus, Dionysus, experienced a Dionysiac frenzy when they were actually possessed by the god. Now, I don't mean this in any metaphorical sense. I'm not saying this is something that they watched on stage but they didn't really believe it or didn't really feel it. I'm saying these people truly did believe and therefore truly were possessed by the god. Women actually went out charging over the hilltops in examples of a phenomenon called orabasia, going wild over the hilltops, tearing off their clothes and, more importantly, tearing apart any living creature that they came across, whether it be a rabbit, a cow, or a shepherd. These bands of Bacchants roamed over the mountains, and I'm personally convinced that we can be quite sure that the stories we have about this have a genuine historical heart to them. The reason is that one of our sources for this material is Plutarch, and Plutarch actually knew the woman, she was a close friend of his, who was the high priestess of one such cult. So that when he recounts stories, and he has one such story, of women waking up miles away from where they started their mountain crossing, waking up and having no recollection of what had gone on the night before, I believe that that is a reliable account and that these people truly did experience the possession of the god. So you could argue in one respect it is an example of these women performing a function which confirms the very thing that is most feared about them by men. Between the two extremes of the dutiful wife in Xenophon and the mother who is tied to the house and the frenzied worshipper of Dionysus, the woman going wild over the mountains and representing a natural force that threatens society and culture, between those two extremes probably lies the real woman.